Welcome to the Dadpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Oliveira. Today on the podcast, we have a guest that recently wrote a book called Shine Your Light, Navigate Your Way to a Life with to a Life That You Love. So Ed Garrity is so much more. I don't want to say just inspirational speaker, because if I lead with that, people think, oh, he's going to be like a Tony Robbins type of guy. That's not it at all. Like, he's definitely got a lot of energy. You guys will hear it here. So, but, you know, he is speaking to, you know, at schools with kids, reaching all types of communities. And I just love the work that you're doing, Ed. I really do. That's why I wanted to have you on the podcast. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Alex. I'm really excited to be here and have the opportunity to spend some time with you and with all of your listeners here today. As you mentioned, I just came out with that new book, Shine Your Light, Navigate Your Way to a Life You Love. And it's a compilation of my 30 years of work with middle schools, high schools, and colleges all across North America. And also a lot of the wisdom and experiences and lessons learned being a parent of two teenagers right now.
Oh, there you go. And yeah, the time, you know, times are a lot different than when you and I grew up with no electronics. It seems to be like the main conversation when I have guests here who have teenagers. I always just bring that up because it is a topic in every parent's, you know, at the dinner table. It's like, how can we get you off of social media or gaming or just put down the smartphone? Because most kids are so connected in that way. And it's good in some ways and bad in others. But I'd love to just hear how you got into this line of work. I know you've been in the world of education for all those decades, but were you always doing the motivational side of it, the inspirational speaking, or how did that start?
It's a great question, Alex. I grew up in a small town in Merrimack, New Hampshire, and my dad was always into listening to all those leadership books with Og Mandino and Zig Ziglar and W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
And my dad would have all those books and cassette tapes around the house. And sometimes when I was in the car with him, he'd be listening to one of those cassette tapes, or there'd be a book around the house and I'd pick it up and read it. And that was kind of my introduction to the whole world of personal development and leadership. And then my mom and my dad both encouraged me, along with the example of my older brother and sister, to really get involved in school and step up as a leader beyond just being an athlete. Mm-hmm. I played football and baseball through high school, and there were a lot of great leadership lessons I learned playing sports. But my mom and dad were really big about not just learning skills to succeed in on the sport that you play, but to really learn skills to help you really succeed and win at the game of life. And so for that, I was incredibly lucky, and I'm incredibly grateful I had that opportunity at an early age to just know the importance of living and leading your life with gratitude and a respect and a responsibility. So from there, when I went to the University of New Hampshire to get my degree in communications, I knew I wanted to work with students. I wanted to coach, I wanted to teach. And I love that whole field. And so in my junior year in college, I actually started my own business. And I started volunteering, speaking at schools, developing my programs, working with kids on goal setting and making positive, healthy choices, and asked for help along the way. And here we are all these years later.
Nice. Very nice. Well, how was it? I have to imagine. I know I started in my own entrepreneurial journey early. You know, when you're younger, you know, like early 20s, people don't seem to take you as serious. And those of us who are relentless don't care. It's just like, okay, if you don't take me serious, I'm still going to keep moving forward. Next, knocking every door.
Sure.
Did you experience some of that as a young guy trying to speak? Because I can imagine, like, a young guy, you go, hey, this guy's too young. He hasn't lived long enough, you know?
Absolutely. In terms of, you know, Alex, I think that's one of the things I think that especially entrepreneurs that we all are challenged with every day, no matter what our age, and that is having the confidence to put yourself out there, the confidence to take an idea and turn it into reality. And so for me, yeah, in my 20s, starting my own business as an inspirational speaker, as a leadership trainer, to your point, people will be like, wait a minute, you're not famous. You're not a professional athlete. You didn't do something really bad and learned an incredible lesson from it. You've really lived a very ordinary life. And I think that's what makes it extraordinary, is that you don't have to be extraordinary in order to live an extraordinary life. And you don't have to do something extraordinary in your own life to be able to reach out and make a difference. As long as you don't make it be about you and you're making it be about them and helping them and helping others be the best they can be. So I've always had to, I've always had to kind of face that challenge. And then now, as you get older, then either you're too young or wait, you're too old, or maybe how do you connect? So,
well, clearly you're connecting with, you know, this generation, Gen Z, you know, those especially in high school and middle school and even college right now. So tell me, like, for I know a lot of our listeners who are parents and our educators who are, you know, always trying to figure out this generation, there's it's not one size fits all. And by the way, every generation has been that way. You can go do any market research, you'll see that there isn't one specific type. There are many archetypes. What are some of the things that you maybe see from your interactions that maybe most people don't know or have it wrong in terms of like myths?
Well, I think one of the things that we may know it, we just don't know what to do about it. And that is that the biggest change that we've all seen among not just the youth of today, but also with all of us, is that we are tapped in 24/7 with technology. And with the way the media and our technology works today, mm-hmm. it's very hard to escape that and to disconnect. And so one of the things that I found in terms of not just talking and working with students, but also with our own teenagers, is that not just teenagers, but all of us, even as adults, it's so easy for us to get pulled into the past with the technology that we have, or to get pushed into the future, that we miss out on what's happening right now, this very moment. And so I think one of the biggest challenges we have as a society, not just among being a parent and not just for kids, but for all of us, is how do we be mindful? How do we be in the present moment? And then how do we teach our kids to be in the present moment when there's just so much noise out there and there's so many experts out there telling parents and telling kids what they should or should not do?
Yeah, well, to your point, I just read yesterday on the Wall Street Journal that they listed a number of colleges who next semester are starting to offer degrees, not courses, talking like an entire degree, an influencer or creator, not marketing, but as an actual career, which I'm not saying is good or bad. I think clearly it's good for a lot of brands, right? And clearly you've created a whole, you know, new category of careers where people can make money. But I do think it's a very, you know, it's a space. And I know from talking to a lot of influencers and creators, you know, you're up here one day, the next day you're down. So it's very, you know, it's a roller coaster. So I just found that interesting that is an actual career, and you would go to get a degree, you know, a 4-year degree on how to become an influencer. I don't know how I feel, to be honest, about that, you know, and I wanted to have that conversation with you because you're out there.
Sure. I mean, the world is changing so fast that one of the big topics that we talk with kids about is, you know, how do you set and achieve goals, and where do you want to go, and what do you want to do, and what do you want to mm-hmm. achieve? And when you ask kids that, the famous phrase is, you know, I don't know. I don't know is okay. I think I don't know is a lot better than whatever, because I think we can then teach the lesson that whatever leads to whenever and whenever leads to never. And really to teach our kids that if you don't choose your greatness, that somebody else will choose your mediocrity. And to remind the kid, I think there's a lot of pressure on kids today. And I think parents, not on purpose, I think that we just want our best for our kids. And we want our kids to be safe and happy and to be successful and make a difference. But sometimes we think that we're helping our kids and we're putting this undue pressure on our kids to have it all figured out and all planned out. And I'm not talking senior year. I'm talking conversations I've had with sixth graders and seventh graders where they just feel like my parents already have me tracking to be a doctor or a lawyer or the next Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And so without thinking about what do you want, to remind the kids, they don't have to have it all figured out and all planned out, but that their great responsibility is to be curious. And that's one of the things we've tried to do with our teenagers and our kids, is to really encourage them to be curious and to explore and to try new things, and to be reminded that the job they will have hasn't probably even been created yet.
Mm. Okay. That's a very interesting take. I mean, really, I think for especially the parents listening who they can only see what's in front of them or what history has taught us. They can't be really a futurist and look forward and, to your point, go, maybe that job doesn't even exist. But if we go back like 20 years ago, I guess to your point, Ed, you go back 20 years ago, there are many jobs that exist today that didn't in, let's say, like the year 2000. First of all, there weren't even social media platforms. So there wouldn't have been a social media manager, for example, which is a very real job that is important and has a real function in society today. So, you know, when you're out there talking to a lot of these kids, especially in high school, it's great that you have, you know, a geography that's diverse enough. What are some of the careers that you think are like, you know, when I'm talking to kids about personal development and leadership, they're coming back at me and going, Ed, that sounds great. I want to do that, but here's what I want to be. Is it pretty much like, is there top five or what is it?
You know, I think it comes across, I mean, the consistent answers are you're the professional athlete, the professional actor, the professional musician.
Okay.
What I think is interesting is to see where you see it would start to change and transform. And so now when I'm working with, like if I'm working with college athletes and I'm talking to them about their goals and their dreams, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I wasn't talking, when I had that conversation, I wouldn't have a student athlete look at me and say, well, I'm really trying to figure out how I can position my name, image, and likeness so that I can actually drive some revenue here as a student athlete,
right?
Especially at Division I school. So now my business is my name, my image, and my likeness as I am my own brand. And so now I'm learning about how to market myself as a student athlete. So that I'll actually establishing my career as a collegiate athlete going forward, which is incredible. And it's not just in the big sports, it's with all the sports. So I see that. I also see a lot of, you know, 5 years ago also, Alex, we didn't see students say, so what do you do? And I'm meeting 20-year-olds and I know you have as well. They're generating, you know, an incredible living as a professional YouTuber. Just having their own YouTube channel or their TikTok channel. So if I ask a student, what do you want to do? Like, well, I want to have my own YouTube channel, or I already have my own YouTube channel. I've met students now where they're professional gamers, that they travel.
Absolutely.
I mean, 4 times
sports.
A year. And they go and they're a professional gamer. And, you know, 10 years ago when I was talking with parents, they would say, well, my kid has this crazy idea that they want to be a professional gamer. Well, it's not so much crazy anymore.
No.
So, you know, all circling back, I still think it's so important that because our teenagers are being hit with so many different messages from so many different directions, I think it's more important forever as parents and as dads that we really teach our kids they are not the soft skills, but they really are the essential skills for them to be able to navigate their way to a life that they love. And, you know, I think sometimes parents would be like, it's okay. You know, they're going to learn some of that stuff at school. Well, schools are overwhelmed and a lot of school systems are just, they don't even have time anymore to talk about resiliency and how to set and achieve goals. They just, right. They have the time to talk about resilience and say, be resilient.
Right.
But they don't have the time to teach that or even teach the skills of setting and achieving goals. So I think as dads, and I think as parents, it's such a great, we have such a great responsibility to teach those skills to our kids. And I'm talking with entrepreneurs, Alex, like you, sometimes we teach to our customers or to our clients all these amazing life lessons and how to persevere, but we forget to actually teach it to our own kids.
I agree. And to your point, if you're not teaching it, somebody else is. They're probably teaching the wrong thing. We talk about it with our kids all the time, Ed. You know, it's saying we call it critical skills, what are typically soft skills, whether it's communication, you know, integrity, things that are just that you're right. They're not going to get it in school. You know, even something like financial literacy, you know,
yes.
Like you, when you get out there, you got to learn to negotiate and sell yourself and value yourself. Cause if you don't, nobody else is gonna, you know, But I think if you leave it to YouTube or whatever other platform to teach your kids, it's not a good thing because unfortunately the bottom line there is money. You know, the bottom line is money. And we've talked about it on this podcast because we follow Section 230 and what's happening in Congress and big tech. And we, you know, we're not trying to say that they're all horrible because my day job, as most of our listeners know, is I'm a digital marketer. So my My job for clients is to drive traffic, get them visibility. You can't do that without Google, Facebook, and all these other companies. So I always feel as a dad, as you know, it's like there's this push and pull. I know the value of it for business, but unfortunately, there's just too many bad actors out there. And so I know it's tough. And I had this conversation. I'd love to get your take on it, Ed, with an advocate for internet safety this week, actually. And we were talking about the fact that when it comes to internet safety, that most schools don't, other than just turn off your phone, that's pretty much the policy, like turn off your phone, don't want it in class. That's as far as they go. They don't really want to overstep and do the parent's job and start to tell them what content they should or shouldn't be, you know, consuming or creating. Whereas with the parents, you know, you go talk to the parents, this group actually does this. The parents are like, how come the schools aren't doing more when it comes to internet safety? I what do you think about that?
I think in a lot of ways, I think a lot of parents actually want the schools to take care of their parenting job. I think, right. Unfortunately, that's what happens. I think, and is that for everybody? Absolutely not. But I do think there is a percentage of parents out there that are like, wait a minute, you're supposed to teach my kid not to do drugs. You're supposed to teach my kids how to, you know, get great grades, all that. And wait a minute, something happened on a Saturday with my child and another child. And then they take an incident that happened on a Saturday or Sunday and they bring it to school on a Monday and they tell the principal or the guidance counselor, hey, I need you to deal with something that happened on social media over the weekend. And for me, I don't think that is the school's responsibility. I think it's the parents' responsibility to know what your kids who your kids are following in terms of what social media platforms they're on. And knowing, and you don't have to know every conversation they're participating in, but you need to know, like, if they are on Instagram, what are their things that they're posting on Instagram, and to make sure they don't have a fake Instagram. And if they are texting, once again, reminding them about the power of what they're texting and posting. You know, the biggest message that I share with students, and it's a message we share with parents. And Alex, I know this is something that's at the core of what you do with especially as a parent and also as an entrepreneur, is that, you know, with great, I know it's from Spider-Man, but it's true. But with great power comes great responsibility.
It's true.
And it's like, and what we text and what we post and what we comment and what we share, you know, delete doesn't mean that it's gone. It just means that we can no longer see it. So you can't expect the schools who are managing so much. So there's so many things they're dealing with, and not having enough resources and not having enough, and in a lot of ways, sometimes enough support.
Right.
That we're not stepping in saying, hey, wait a minute, we're not teaching our kids the value of that and saying, because, you know, there's consequence to that. I'll give you a personal example. Our son was going to his first year of college. And so his whole dream all since middle school was to play lacrosse. And all the way through, we were always reminding him about the importance of being responsible for what he was texting and posting and commenting and sharing. And sure enough, he played in all the different, you know, summer lacrosse leagues. We went all these colleges for him that were interested in playing lacrosse there. And the final college we went to that he really wanted to play at and the coach wanted him at, everything went great. And I'll never forget it. The coach looked right at my son and he said, "Your everything on the game film looks great. I know you can play lacrosse. Your grades are excellent. Your leadership involvement is great. The one last thing we just want to check to make sure everything's all set is your social media channels, because we're making an investment in you. We want to make sure that we understand it's private, but we also feel that because we're making such a big investment in you, we want to make sure that what we're seeing on your social media is consistent with what you're saying here in the application." And thankfully, because we had had those conversations with Ryan, and Ryan did actually follow through on it, he was able to look the coach right in the eye and say, "You know what, coach? Absolutely. I can give them to you right now."
Oh, what a powerful story. And I think such an important reminder for parents who are not there yet, but to remind their kids that this is really how society functions now. And what you do in the virtual world doesn't just stay there. People will judge you, rightfully so, right? Whatever the message is, you have to be able to stand behind that face to face in the world with people. And so I think that that's a really, really powerful story that you just shared there.
And also to counter that too, Alex, you know, you have to be, as a parent, I think it's also important that when you share that with your teenager, you can't scare them. I don't think scare tactics really work anymore, because if the kids want to get scared today, they can go on the internet and see really scary stuff in a matter of seconds. So I think it's more about saying, hey, look, here's the responsibility we have. And maybe you have posted some things that maybe weren't appropriate. Maybe you did participate in conversations you shouldn't have participated in online. This isn't to make you a bad person. It's to help learn from that and move forward so that you can correct some of these smaller mistakes so they don't add up to later. Because, and then you don't even have to even just give them the lecture. All you have to do is just get on the internet or just look in a magazine, and you'll come across the articles about how students are given academic or music or athletic scholarships only to have them taken away because of an inappropriate post or comment that's discovered by them. Sometimes all the way back into their freshman year, even eighth grade year in school, if it's serious enough. So yeah. We need to educate and remind them of that responsibility.
You're right. I think and they are tough conversations because as you said, that line sometimes is a little blurred between, you know, forcing it upon them and trying the scare tactics that you were saying none of us should do.
Yeah.
And then saying it with love and look, this is for your best interest, right? Because even as adults, I know you follow, the events that we've seen over the years, people in high power lost their jobs and can't find a job or an opportunity or anyone who will touch them because of how they acted in a certain situation in a park or a coffee shop or whatnot. And, that's the world we live in. You know, you just can't hide from that anymore.
You can't. And you also make a great point there, Alex, about the idea that, the way the world is today in terms of teaching our kids about not just the responsibility of their social media, but just in terms of the responsibility they have in terms of their words and their actions. I think that's another big message that we can need to continue to teach our kids as entrepreneurs, as we strive as entrepreneurs and as dads of like, look, you are responsible for your life. And you are 100% responsible for the choice and decisions that you make, and to keep reminding them and empowering of with that unbelievable choice they have to be responsible for their life. You mentioned that idea too, like those are difficult conversations, and yeah, they are difficult conversations. And one of the things that I've learned in as an entrepreneur and juggling being a parent has we're so busy as entrepreneurs, right? It's 24/7. You're thinking about your business. You're thinking about your work. And sometimes when your child comes up to you and says, hey, dad, can I ask you a question? Or, hey, dad, can I talk to you about something? And most of the times, it's not a good time. And one of the lessons that I've learned, and I've also, it's been reaffirmed through talking with so many parents, is that, you know, when they ask to talk or when they start talking about something, as hard as it is, you have to drop everything that you're doing and take advantage of that time that they want to talk about something. Because you might not get that window again for the next day. You can't say, can we talk about this tonight? You really can't. And, you know, you have to take advantage of those conversations, because I missed some of those early on as a dad because I was, you know, doing this or I'm on a call or I have this. Now, when that happens, I've realized that I better take advantage of that because I can give you an example. Even like 5 years ago, my daughter coming up to me saying, hey, dad, can I talk to you about something? And I'm like,
I've been there.
You know, so which is
I've been there. Honestly, that warms my heart because I think it's such a great reminder. And I think so much of your body of work, Ed, is about that. It's interesting in that world of inspirational speaking that, I mean, I've seen so many, read so many books, have watched so many. People say, why do you go to these things? Why do you still do it? I said, because when people are doing it, you know, with authenticity, like you are, it's like, yeah, I know that lesson, but it's never been positioned or articulated in that certain way. And it's that reminder. So like for me, today's takeaway, and I hope our listeners, you know, get that too, is that reminder that you just gave right there is so valuable because we've all been there. I've been there as a dad. Probably I've done it this week at least once with one of my four kids, you know, to say, well, hold on a second, not now. I got to go talk to Ed, you know? So, exactly. But you're so right. It's such a good reminder that, you won't get that time back, and you don't know what that conversation is. And if they don't find it with you, they may go somewhere else and not get the same thing. So what a great reminder. Tell our audience, our listeners, the best way that they can find your book or connect with you, Ed.
Sure, Alex. The best way to connect with me is just right through my website, which is edgarrity.com.
Fantastic. Well, before I let you go, because yeah. I mean, you've really spread so much, joy and inspiration here on the podcast today. But is there anything you want to leave us with, an insight, a tip, and a piece of advice that you like, that you feel will benefit not only the parents who are listening, but maybe some young people listening too?
Sure, Alex. We touched upon it a little bit too in our conversation, and that is that so much of our time, I think so much of our time and attention, we get pulled into the past and we get pushed into the future. And I think that the only way that we can truly be a great parent and the only way we can be successful in business is if we are in the present moment. And so I think that's something that we have to practice and work at every day. It's an intentional thing to be in the present moment, because it's only in the present moment that you can really teach about gratitude. You can really teach about respect and responsibility, about being kind to others. So I would encourage anyone that's listening here today to how can you be more in the present moment? And what are some strategies to help you do that? Just real quickly, any type of consistent practice of meditation, of prayer, of just taking the time to be still or quiet each day. The research shows that when you take that time to just to be mindful, to get quiet, it'll put you into the present moment to allow you then to really create a space of gratitude for your life.
I love it.
And I think that when we live and lead our lives with gratitude, and we can really create that space for ourselves, then the connection we can have with our kids, the level we can take our business is limitless.
Wow. Very powerful. I love it. Thank you so much, Ed.
Thank you, Alex.